Turn to Philippians, please. We'll begin at verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. Backing up, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. We need to be more aware of this today than ever, because many people who call themselves Christians, their conduct proves otherwise. They're either backslidden, they're carnal, which is the equivalent of being backslidden, lukewarm, or worldly, and their conduct is not appreciated by the Lord. And they are deceiving themselves. Scripture, again, as Peter said, people need to examine themselves to see whether they are in the faith. Paul said they need to examine themselves to see whether they have been disqualified if they did not continue in the faith, you know. So we need to always let the Word search us. Hold your place. 2 Timothy. And he says, here, let your conduct, watch your conduct, your action. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ, or the Lord, depart from sin, depart from iniquity. See, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus himself said it, that he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, you workers of lawlessness. And they're going to proceed to tell him how good churchgoers they were and how they had ministerial gifts and all the good things they were doing. And this is not going to impress him in the least. They're giving money. Does not impress God if you don't live right. See, people are trying to pacify their conscience. People are trying to barter with the Lord, and it cannot be done. And somehow backsliders and backslidden Christians and apostates sort of feel like somehow God's going to remember all the good they did, so when they do bad things, he's going to overlook this. They are sadly mistaken. We need to go back and say the Word of God is sure. His foundation is sure, and God knows who is his. Ezekiel says, in that day, he means the present day, when the righteous turns from his righteousness unto evil. The Lord himself said this. He says, the Lord, he will die in his sins, and all of his good that he has done, it says, the Lord will not remember it. So if you think you're going to barter with God, you're going to end up sadly mistaken, speechless standing before God. Because when you start to proclaim all of your righteousness, the Lord's simply going to answer you. You removed yourself from Christ. You removed yourself from walking in the Lord, in the Spirit, and therefore everything you did is canceled. See, there won't be any of this bartering here. So he's telling us, if we're going to name the name of the Lord, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then the Word says, then you better live appropriately. You know, let your conduct, let your action show that you are a Christian. And, of course, we know what the actions are. See, this is why it's so sad today to see so much false teaching and worldliness and you know, in the so-called church and among so-called Christian people. And they sort of pacify and condone everything they do. And we even see it on little bumper stickers. Christians are not perfect. They're only forgiven. You know? And many people say, well, it's only grace that makes the difference. See, it sounds good. But the grace of God teaches men to deny ungodliness in this present life. So he's saying what? If you truly have the grace of God, then you will show it by your lifestyle, by your fruit, by your actions. So it's not going to be what? A profession. And see, that's why even Jesus himself, when he gave the scripture, when he gave scripture often, he'll say, did you hear me? Did you understand what I was saying? And often that answer, and he said, but more blessed are you if you do it. See, he was big on what? If you hear the word and keep it. If you hear the word and do it. See, many people are just hearing it and nodding their heads with approval. But they're not going nowhere. Actually, Jesus says they are the ones who are building on sand. And when the wind and rains and the trials of life come, they're going to collapse. They're going to find themselves outside of God, knocking on the door when the master of the house has risen up and shut the door and will not be listening anymore. So he gives strong warning. If you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, then continue in His Word. You know, He always talks about the action, the fruit. And this is the works of grace. It produces a conduct, a life changed. And if it doesn't, then you're not in Christ. It's very simple. And all of your false teachers and ministers can lie to you and tell you, well, when you were baptized when you were 12, that took care of everything. Well, I hate to tell you, but they are ministers of Satan who are lying to you. Because unless you continue in the Lord, all of your baptism, all of your past experiences don't mean nothing to God. How are you today? Are we living for the Lord today? Is He Lord today? And if He is not Lord today, He is not Lord anymore. You know? And so many people again are saying, Lord, Lord, but they have not continued with the Lord. Titus says what? They profess to know the Lord, you know, and they tell us how they met the Lord, and they tell us all the experiences. He said, but in works they deny Him. And what are the works? Fruitfulness, putting away sin, putting away the works of the flesh. And see, many people, again, are claiming to be Christians and claiming to be in Christ when they've not repented, or they've backslidden, and they've gone back to the world, and they're engrossed back into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But they're playing this religious game. But they're the only ones that are going to be deceived. See, the demon can only deceive liars and deceitful people. Those who are following the Lord will pick up what He's doing. So many people who know Scripture are deceived and on their way to hell. They just don't know it. Laodicea did not know it. Sardis did not know it. But they were given the good lip service to the Lord. But their works and their life was what? Was faulty. And so this is why He said, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you have immediately said what? I am required to be a light of the world. I am required to be a light of Christ. I am not my own, and I have to represent Him. I am an ambassador. I am a pilgrim. I am a witness. I am of a holy nation. And many people who claim to be in this holy nation of the family of God are unholy people. And they're not going to make it. For without holiness, no man shall see God. And He's not talking about imparted righteousness. He's talking about the conduct. There must be a holy life. And so when people do not measure up to the Word, let's give the sentence that the Word calls them. Hypocrites, apostates, carnal, worldly, backslidden, lukewarm. And if you study Scripture, you'll see that the end of every one of them is spiritual death. So He's warning this, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. Now, this is not an appropriate sentence today, is it? Translated then, that was pretty good. We don't want to hear about people's affairs. You know, today when you hear about people's affairs, you're thinking about people running out on each other, husbands and wives having flings. But what He meant here was what's going on with you, your affairs, your daily living. He said, I want to know and want to hear how you're walking in the gospel. And He said, I may hear of your affairs. And notice what He wants, that your steadfastness, or that you are steadfast in one spirit with one mind. Okay, He is into unity of spirit and unity of mind, but not to unity today. The unity today and the ecumenicalism today is faulty, and it's from Satan. It has no scriptural foundation. You can only have unity and oneness of mind with those who are truly in the true faith. You cannot compromise and lay aside the foundations of God, the Scripture, the Word of God, to get along with someone. See, that's what they call unity today. Let's see what we can give up and get along. You know, see, that's politics. You have to compromise if you're in politics. You can get nowhere unless you compromise in politics. But in Christian ethics, in Christian ways, compromise simply means you have gone to bed with the great whore. You have gone to bed with Satan. Because once you've given up the truth, And once you eat at the table of the devil, you're no longer eating of the Lord's table. See? So compromise is deadly for Christians when it is over God's word. No, we're not to give up nothing. And we hear these famous things today. Well, let's just lay aside doctrine and love one another. If you lay aside doctrine, which simply means teaching of Scripture, you'll go to hell. You lay aside the word of God, you're not going to make it to heaven. No. You better lay aside your friends and your ecumenicalism if it's in conflict with God's word. You better depart from them rather than depart from the Lord's word. Why? Because the Lord's word is going to stand. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not. So we are to have unity. But what kind? It's unity in the Lord. One mind. What is that mind? He tells us it's to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The Scripture. What He has revealed. What the apostolic teaching teaches us is the mind of Christ. And there's the oneness we are to find our fellowship around. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Isn't it interesting what he says here? Striving. Well, Paul was given much more abundant grace, he said, for his apostolic ministry. And immediately he said he strived and labored greatly. And then he said, the grace in me labored. So what is he telling us? We're to strive with grace, with God's ability, with God's enabling and favor. We are to strive for what? For the faith of the gospel. Notice what he says, the faith of the gospel. Hold your place. Matthew. Again, a great fallacy today. Many people, many evangelists, you hear them on television, many of them using Scripture and telling you we got to hurry up and preach the gospel to the world so Jesus can hurry up and come back. But there's a big sad mistake here that people are missing. Matthew 24, verse 14. We'll go up one more, the 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's a good one, isn't it? Didn't say those who became Christians, those who were born again. You just began. It says what? Those who endure till the end. It's not the beginners, finishers. You know, it's not those who start the race, it's those who finish the race. The many start that don't finish. But notice what he said. And this gospel, he didn't say another gospel, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, see, the sad thing today is most of what you're hearing as the gospel is a false gospel being preached by false ministers. The majority of ministers in our pulpits are preaching a compromising gospel. Yeah, and most of the seminaries are putting this out. Just say a little prayer and do your best and, you know, and then they do as they please. No conformity to the cross life. So you don't hear them preaching, go to the cross, take up your cross daily. No, theirs is all self-esteem, how to be blessed, how to get God to bless what you want to do, how to be a king's kid. You know, how to get faith so you can be wealthy, rich, famous, and everything else, which is no such teaching in Scripture. But see, this is what they're offering people today. Study your slips of paper and you'll understand this more later. Okay, so he's saying when this gospel is preached, well, see, we're at a time when men will not endure sound teaching. We're at a time it says that they will oppose the truth. You know, they will fight the truth. We're there. So we have to be aware of this as Christians. It should not discourage us. Christ warned that it would happen. The Spirit speaks expressly that this would happen in the latter days. And we're there. And it's going to get darker, spiritually darker. You know, and we have to say, well, this is where we're living. And but we have to be like the Church of Philadelphia. Maintain our walk with the Lord. Maintain our holiness. Now trust in the Lord, maintain His word, and don't let no one steal our crown. What does that mean? Don't compromise for these compromising lies. Don't fall for these lying spirits and these lying preachers who are mixing the word of God. And once it's mixed, it's no longer sound teaching. It's false doctrine. It's death in the pot. And we need to see this, that angels of light must come with some light. They must have used some truth to distort it. wolves in sheep's clothing, they must appear as sheep before they can do the wolf's damage. So you got to be careful of what they're coming and how they're coming. And they're going to quote Scripture. But it's going to be Scripture out of context. It's going to be Scripture not rightly handled. You know, they're going to strain at gnats and swallow camels. They're going to emphasize Scriptures that they want, and they're going to smooth over the ones that cut and the ones that require self-denial and judging ourselves and going to the cross. And they're going to emphasize the ones that make you feel good. But it's not too well to feel good when you're not right with God. See, then you're being lied to. You shouldn't feel good if you're not right with God. But see, today the music, much of the teaching is geared to uplift the old man, the natural man. It doesn't offend him. See, this is why sinners and backsliders and lukewarm and worldly people can go to a meeting and listen to a little sermon and wonderful music that draws tears and walk away and feel good. Because the Word of God has not been ministered. And because there's death there. But it makes people feel good. See, they're in feeling religion. You know, but they're not going to feel good on the day of judgment, are they? Okay. Striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. Again, Jude. This gospel, Jesus said. And the gospel, Philippians says. And notice what Jude said. And this is before all the apostles have died. Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you. It means to warn, to admonish. Exhorting you to contend earnestly, seriously, for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And immediately he says certain men have crept in unnoticed, who have been marked for damnation because they are perverting God's word. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into sexual immorality, and they go further. But notice what he said. This is before the Bible was even completed. He was saying what? I must warn you to contend for the faith that was once and all for all delivered. He's saying what? There is no new gospel. You know. See, today the ministers say, you know, and they boast about it. Oh, we don't preach on hell anymore, or sin, or wrath, you know. We feel that there's another way to preach the gospel. Isn't it interesting? Jesus and the apostles didn't think so, you know, and they laid the foundation. No, it's because they don't like what the Scripture says, you know. And the Scripture can be hard, and it's a sword. And at times, like Jesus said, you think I came to bring peace? He said, I come to bring a sword. You know, if you're not living right with God, the Word of God will slay you. See? And people don't want to face the truth. And they're saying, I don't want to hear this. And God said, okay, what did he say he would do? For men would not endure sound doctrine. God said, I will give them over to lying spirits and doctrines of devils. See, this is the consequence of resisting the Spirit of truth. When you resist the Holy Spirit, there's always a consequence. Death will be ministered. And people don't know who they're playing with, you know. And the time they decide to seek God, even Jesus said it. He says, they'll seek me too late. He says, and they'll come knocking, but once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, he'll not answer. And he says, and he told the Jews, you'll seek me later, but you'll not find me, and you'll die in your sins. See, they played with the Holy Spirit and despised the Spirit of grace, and they opposed the one who proclaimed it. And there's always consequences for resisting truth. So the only thing left is what? Is the lie. Okay, so we have to do what? He wants us to strive for the one spirit, one mind in the faith of the gospel. The faith. The faith. This gospel that Jesus talked about. Not another gospel. Not the watered down version we're hearing today. The gospel. The faith. What is the faith? The faith that Jesus proclaimed and the apostles taught. Anything else that does not conform to apostolic teaching is false. Any building is false. And today you'll see why they won't go back to this. See? Because it does the same thing it did 2,000 years ago. The same word still cuts and goes after what? The old man, the world, and the devil. He'll never be at peace with them. But now They have twisted and watered down and smoothed over the truth to make it comfortable for people. But what have they done? They've damned these people's souls because they've given them lies. And again, this is one of God's indictments against the false prophets under Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah's time. He said, you have smoothed over my word. You have caused my people to trust in a lie and said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. He said, you caused them to trust in a lie and they will be damned. See, that's the sad thing. Okay. And not in any way may you be terrified by your adversaries, which to them is a proof of perdition or judgment, but to you of salvation, and that from God. What was he saying? When we proclaim the gospel, when we strive together to maintain the true gospel and what it means, we're going to get opposition. He's basically told us this. But he says, don't be afraid. Don't be terrorized. And what he's saying here, again, it's the word that he's implying is boldness, that when they persecute you, when they call you to give an account, when you have to suffer for your words, he's saying you don't get terrorized of them. Actually, the word is close to what is used in Proverbs when it says sudden fear. It means when you're called to give an account, like Paul and the apostles were, and it eventually cost them their lives. Or like Stephen. You see, Stephen, he was not a coward, was he? And he was not only a coward, he was willing to tell them, you stiff-necked people, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not the thing to say when these people can kill you and have the right to do it, is it? But he wasn't worried, was he? He told them what God wanted him to tell them. And they did stone him. But he died with boldness. See, people talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's for. It's boldness when people attack you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. It's to live the Christian life when people consider you a fanatic and too spiritual. And they don't want to hang around with you because you're a holier than thou. See? And you're able to say, well, let them say what they wish. One day the judgment seat will reveal all. See, let them say that. So, see, we are called to suffer. We may not be beaten anytime soon. We may. But we'll all suffer, and people will disassociate with us, professing believers and backsliders, if you live right and if you talk right. But if they love you and you get along with them, it's because you're already on the way to hell with them. You just don't know it. You've already loved the world and have gone to bed with her, and you're going to try to witness to the world. They laugh and mock you. See? That's why they mock them. Many Christians are mocked, and they look at them and say, you know better than I am. Your life isn't no better than mine. And it's true. And it's an indictment against Christians that their conduct isn't different. And that's why people don't listen to them. And that's why people are reproached to God. And then when they do try to speak Scripture, people mock them inwardly, if not outwardly. And they let them talk, and then they go and talk behind their backs. Like, they don't live no better than I do. You know, why should I do this? You know, where is the working of the gospel they're talking about? You know? And see, again, Christianity is not for cowards. Nowhere is Christianity for cowards. But God says he gives grace. He doesn't require us to stand in the old man. Okay? But he says what? Basically, the scripture implies that when you stand and you give a word and they persecute you or they speak against you, it's your boldness and courage that they will look at. See, you will not be intimidated by them. You will not cower and run from them. And they, in a sense, even though they may despise you and hate you, they sort of respect that. Why? Because they look at you and say, this person believes what he's talking about, even if I hate him. So this is why Ahab did respect Micaiah as much as he hated him. And Jezebel had killed many of the prophets, and Ahab could have killed Micaiah too, but for some reason he was afraid to. The same reason that King Herod was afraid to kill John the Baptist until he was trapped openly. He's afraid of him. He said he's a fanatic, but he lives what he preaches. And they're afraid to touch him, even though they hated him. Had to be trapped to put him to death. And then it was only when his pride came into play that he was willing to sacrifice him. You know, only when his pride came into place, he was willing to sacrifice him then. So it showed you which was most important. So he's telling us what? That it's a proof of our salvation when the world hates us. See, we forget that Jesus said, you know, if you love me, if you follow me, he says the world will hate you. It means what? They will be opposed to what you stand for. And if you get along with the world and you're comfortable with worldly people, you're already trapped. You're in worse condition than they are. You're not a witness. You're an adulterer. You're an adulteress. You love the world. And what did John say? And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And that's what happened to Laodicea. She said, we have need of nothing. And Jesus said, what? You're naked. You're blind. And you don't even know it. You know? And Sardis was what? Dead. Jesus says, you think you're alive. He said, but you're dead. See, sin deceives. You stop mingling with the world. See, this is why we were told, if you're going to be sons and daughters of the Lord, he said what? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And if you're fraternizing and fellowshipping and enjoying worldly people, it's because you're just like them. I don't care who you are. And I'll say the same thing to myself when it applies. And you better be careful, because then you're a traitor. You know, we can't be too close with worldly people. We can be kind. We can be civil. But we have to be careful. The Scripture says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? And it's sad to say that many professing Christians prefer worldly people than they do spiritual. And they'll talk behind your back and say, well, he's a fanatic. I don't like that kind of Christian. He's too serious. See, they reveal their own heart. But see, they don't know they're damned their own heart, too. And they judge themselves. And God looks. And he listens. And they go to church. And they praise the Lord. And they sing with crocodile tears. And they give a little money. And they're going to go to hell and be shocked at the day of judgment. It's because they did not heed the word of God. So when we stand for God's word, we're going to have opposition. Let's expect it. You know, let's expect it, because we're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different, aren't we? And if we're not, then we need to go judge ourselves and find out why and what's wrong with us. And I hear many Christians say, well, I don't worry too much what people think. That's good if you're going to live the gospel. But you better worry more about what the Lord thinks. And that's the sad thing, is many professing Christians are more worried about what their friends and enemies think than they're worried about what the Lord thinks. They're also deceived. They're not going to make it either. See, because they're not doing what the Scripture says, to love the Lord their God first. See, they're playing church. If you're truly trying to serve the Lord and put him first and love him, then this other stuff will fall in its place. But you can't please people. And you can't please most professing Christians and please God, let me tell you. It cannot be done. We must make a division. We must stand for the Lord when it is when it's not popular, when we are accused. See, that's called dying to self. That's called dying to our ego when someone says we're a fanatic, we're too strict, or we're legalistic, or we're holier than thou. See, Jesus said, what did he say to respond? We usually say, oh my Lord, why would they say this about me? You know, like, why wouldn't they? And Jesus said, rejoice. And leap for joy. He said, for what? He said, for when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, he says, rejoice, for great is your reward. See, there are no Christians who don't suffer for the kingdom. They're not Christians. They're cowards. There are no secret Christians. Not in this kind of country there isn't. You know? Let's get back to the truth. And see, that's the faith that they believed in. And that faith has not changed, even though all the denominations are trying to change it, and our society and our generation is trying to change it. The Word of God has not changed. Okay, so he's saying, by your boldness, when you take a stand, they will see that you're different, and that you're not intimidated by their threats, or even by what they can do to us, you know? And see, that's, and it catches their attention. And he says, and that's proof, too. See, even the Scripture says, if you suffer, then it's proof that the glory of God rests on you. And Jesus said, what? If they hate me, they'll hate you. Well, they did hate him, didn't they? And he says, the world will hate you. What is the world? Those who are not Christians. That's who the world is. And when we start to give them the gospel and they oppose it, then they're going to hate you. Because they either have to acknowledge what you're saying is true, or they have to make a liar out of you or attack you to feel comfortable, that they can sleep at night. Because if what you say is true, they're forced to conform, aren't they? And if they don't want to conform, then they have to rend you. This is what Jesus meant. They will turn and rend you. That's what the swine do when they don't receive the gospel. I won't go to that scripture, but in 1 Peter 3:6, the word again is speaking of the women who called them holy women, as Sarah was, it said, who submitted to her husband and had a godly fear. And it said that they would be saved, Peter speaking, if they were not afraid with amazement, is how the King James words it. Actually, it's the same meaning here. If they are not afraid with sudden fear, you know, that even if they're abused by their husbands or the world or whatever, they were not to be in terror. You know, if they were to be beat, God would give them grace. But they were not to run around in terror and be hysterical and emotional and carrying on. This was considered a reproach. Why? It showed that the spirit of grace was not on them. They were not walking in the spirit. So isn't that interesting that Peter would say this and sort of single out women for this? Why? Because he knows the tendency for women to be emotional more so than men. Again, that's just the way they are. But he was warning not to allow their emotions to get into the way, because they will have to suffer too for the gospel at times. Okay. For to you it has been granted on his behalf, or behalf of Christ. What has been granted to us? Not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Now, isn't this interesting? Most of your ministers, you don't hear them telling you this, do you? All you hear them say is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Just say this little prayer, quote these three scriptures, blah, blah. Uh-uh. He said what? It's given too that you will suffer for him. You know, see? They're afraid to give people the whole gospel, aren't they? See, they want to trick people into becoming Christians. This is why we got so many people call themselves Christians. They've been tricked. They've been given a few little pieces of fruit, but they weren't told the whole truth. They weren't told that there is a positive and a good side and a blessed side of serving the Lord. But there's a hard side too. And there's the cross. And there's the affliction that the Christian must bear also. See, they're being lied to. They've been promised all the goodies, and actually more than the scripture promised. But they haven't been told you have to take up your cross daily. And that when God wants his will done, sometimes you have to deny yourself. And he'll want you to do things that you don't want to do. And he will say, nevertheless, that's what I want done. I'm Lord and you're mine. See, they're not being taught that. They're being taught, if I please God, he'll give me everything I want, here, now, and forever. There is no such teaching in Scripture. Never promised that. You know the only thing he really promised us, if you stay faithful? I will never leave nor forsake you. And that was only for those who were faithful. He will forsake those who forsake him. Study Scripture. No one will pluck you out of his hand, but you can surely walk away. See, he's saying as far as it's his job, he'll do his. We be careful that we do ours. And he's going to get to this soon about our salvation, if we get that far. Okay, so it says what? We have been given not only to believe and trust in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. What was he saying? I'm an example of this. He's in prison writing this, basically. He's telling them, I'm suffering for the word. You know? In the last book of the Bible, we see John on Patmos. And he says what? I'm here as a prisoner for the testimony of Jesus, for the word of God. He says, I'm being put here and confined. But isn't it astounding? The word was not confined. Isn't it astounding that much of what Paul wrote and John was wrote while they were in prison? Look at the fruit. The word was not bound, was it? They were bound. And see, isn't it strive the scripture that Paul said when he said, you know, if you're a slave or a prisoner, he says, you're the Lord's free man. And he says, and if you're free, you're the Lord's prisoner. He's saying what? You're not your own. So see, that's why Paul said it didn't matter, you know, what state he was in, as long as the Lord was with him. Okay, and this is what we need to understand. Okay. To suffer for his sake, hold your place. I'm going to go real quickly to 2 Timothy. Forgot where I'm going there, but I guess when I get there, I'll figure it out. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 12. Okay, again, to suffer. Yes, all who desire to live godly where? in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This is His will, and this is as plain a scripture as any other command that Jesus gave. He never said you might, did He? What does He say here? Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why? Because if you start living a godly life, the world will hate you more. It's because they don't like it. They would rather for you to compromise with them. They would rather for you to say, they're okay, you're okay. Isn't that the world system? Live and let live. See? But if you live differently and you talk differently, what does this do? It smites them. And they're forced to accept your evaluation or attack you. And they're always going to do one of the two. You know, and to attack you, often they just ignore you or walk away. But that's attacking you. And that's why I said, if you're going to live godly, you will suffer persecution. And if you're not suffering because of your Christianity after a few years, you need to go and do again what Peter said. Examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith. Examine yourself and see whether you're a coward. See if you think you're a Christian, you know, because you're going to serve the Lord openly. You know, you have to. You may not be called to be an evangelist. You may not have a public ministry. But you're going to serve the Lord, and you're not going to be ashamed of the things of the Lord. And He says, and if we deny Him, He will deny us. That's a promise. And if we acknowledge Him, He said, I will acknowledge you. So see, He's made it plain. He said, when I lit your candle, it wasn't to hide it under a bushel. It was for people to see. See, there are no secret Christians. They're just cowards, or they're false Christians. Okay, so they shall suffer. But again, this is what grace is given for. This is what the Spirit's given for. Boldness, assurance. This is why the Lord comes alongside and helps us. This is why often when you read the Psalms, David will say what? And the Lord stood with me. And you know, everybody's always persecuting to try and David. And he was saying, all forsook me, but the Lord sustained me, and His free spirit lifted me up. Open the door, Barbara. How much time we have?
7.
Okay. So again, he's saying that he suffered because of being a Christian, and that we will suffer at times, that we have to bear that side of the gospel also. Okay. Then he changes thought temporarily. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. He's saying all of these things. These are what? These are Christian principles among the fellowship of the saints. What is to happen when people are in harmony in the Spirit? When the fellowship of the saints is in progress, there should be comfort and consolation. There should be love going on, mercy, affection. And he's saying, and fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Remember, he started off saying, be of one spirit. Be of one mind. And see, he's clarifying what this is. It's the foundation of Christianity. It's the Word of God. Having the mind of Christ. You know, the true faith is what he's talking about. He's not talking about a denomination. He's not talking about people's separate opinions. He's saying, no. Like-minded is what? In the Word of God. See? We have variety. We're different. We have different ministry. We have different depths. This is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the unity of the body of believers that are growing in grace, that are moving in the Lord. But again, everything is based on what? Truth, not lies. Not assumptions. Okay? And he says, having the same love. Again, notice that he's talking about the unity of love. What is the same love? The love for God and the love for the world. I mean, love for the body of Christ. Does what? Fulfills all the commandments. Love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. You know? And that's why John kept talking about the new commandment. The commandment of love was to sum up. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. You know, if you love your neighbor, if you love the body of Christ as God requires, you won't murder, you won't cheat, you won't steal, You won't slander them. You know, you'll automatically not do these other things if you fulfill this one. And this is why he said, you know, you don't have to run around saying, oh, I got to stop this evil. Just do good. And the evil will cease. You know? See, often that automatically cures it. You know? If you love, you cannot hate. If you have goodwill, you cannot have malice at the same time. See, he's talking about, and this is what Paul meant when he talks about the putting on and the putting off. The putting on of the mind of Christ and the keeping down and the putting off of the old man, the world, that lower nature. Okay, let's take a break here.